Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wanted to push the button, but no, this is Wretched Radio. Jimmy was going to push the button and move on to a new set of subjects, but no, you keep pulling us back in. What did you just learn that you wish you had learned, say, 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah. So my wife's father passed away recently. And one of the things that we're learning now that we're going through is the issue of probate and what to do with an estate.
That's right.
And I had no clue
right
about this stuff.
If you don't have a trust, the state says, we'll take it from here.
Right.
And they'll go about the business of being the executor of your estate. And instead of having the government do it, you can assign that to somebody if you put everything into a trust.
Right.
And it's not that difficult to do. And I suspect, Jimmy, can you do that online now?
There are several.
I figured as much.
Yep.
And what's the cost for something like that?
$200-$400, I guess, depending on how complex it is.
Complex it happens to be. And if it's more complex, then chances are that number shouldn't be too daunting. And if you're not familiar with what a trust is, just Google it. And if you're trying to make wise decisions so that you can indeed pass on an inheritance, that is something that is proverbially good, that you share something with your kid. Now, those percentages, how much goes to church, to whatever ministry you choose, to your kid, that is totally up to you. But having it in a trust keeps the government out of it. They just can't get their gloms onto it. You assign it to somebody. And if you can't find somebody in your life that you think would be fit for the task, which oftentimes can be the case, family dynamics, skill set, you've got some old wars that have never been resolved. I get all of that. But I would suggest there are two additional places you can look to find such an individual. You know, like your local church. Would there happen to be somebody there who's good at that kind of stuff? And if you approach that person to say, hey, we sure could use some help, and that would you be willing to take on that responsibility? And most likely, sorry, I'm going to just bang this gong one more time, probably somebody older. Now, it is very possible they might say, oof, that can be a really big deal. That it's just too much for me. I would love to, but I can. Okay, that's valid. You shouldn't be offended by that. But there's a pretty good chance there's somebody maybe who is, what was that word that Ben Shapiro was talking? Oh, retired. And they know how to do those things, and they would delight in doing those things. That's what the church is about. Why is it we so overlook the church so often? Why isn't that our first thought isn't, okay, we got to find somebody to be an executor of the state, to manage the trust. Let's go through the phone. That cousin's a knucklehead. No, my sister, she'd take it all anyway. By the way, speaking of taking it all, Matthew 23, when Jesus was woeing the Pharisees and the scribes, and he said, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, for you devour widows. What was that all about? And then you go out into the marketplace to pray ostentatiously so people can see you. That warranted a woe from Jesus. Why? Because the scribes were the legal scholars of the day, and they were often entrusted with men's wills to take care of their estate. And they'd rip off the widow. They'd take her house. They were devouring widows. And then they had the gall to go out into the streets and act like they're really religious by praying. You don't want a scribe to take care of your trust. That's what I'm trying to say here. What about somebody inside of the context of your local church? Now, let's just say for whatever reason, that can't happen. A second option for you would be, this is the age we live in. If we don't think that we have it easy, it's just staggering how, yeah, I think our lives have more, especially if you're in an urban center. And by the way, perspective is really interesting to me. I actually, yesterday, flew to Tampa, Florida and back, same day. And I was talking to a young lady who had moved out of Tampa to a rural area. And she said, "Oh, it's so nice being out there." I said, "How come?" "Oh, Tampa's crazy." And in my mind, I'm going, when I flew into Tampa, I'm like, "Oh, I'd give anything to live in a place like Tampa compared to Atlanta, where the traffic is just awful, awful." It might be awful in Tampa, but to me, it looked kind of cute by comparison. And it's terrible. So it can be a little bit of perspective, can it? When we live in this type of a setting, there can be all kinds of pressure that bears down on us that is a little bit more intense, I think, for some areas than another. And it's just a reminder that modernity brings about particular challenges and blessings. Like, you can actually go online and you can hire somebody to be the trustee of your of the trustee of your trust that manages it. I like the financial people, like the big, like Goldman Sachs, those type, like not your area of expertise, for real? Bingo. Charles Schwab, those types of people. They offer those services, and there's probably attorneys that even do it on a local level. So you can engage somebody to do that for you, and that would be an encouragement to do it. Jimmy,
yes.
Sorry about your wife's loss.
Yeah.
That's a drag. It's really amazing, isn't it? No matter how old a mom or dad is, and I'm not suggesting this about her dad, no matter how terrible a mom or dad is, the child still mourns.
Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't, it is so built into our DNA. It is so baked into us that anytime you lose a parent, it is a profound loss. And no matter how good or bad the dad is, in this case, good dad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And my understanding is Mrs. Hicks and her dad were quite close.
Oh, they were. Very.
Which is, you know what? She must be old enough to be bucking the current young trend of not wanting to stay close to your dad.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had to have experienced this. You talk to somebody, good believers. In fact, I was just reading an article about this and somebody was observing. Oh, I know. Oh, I didn't finish the article. I was intrigued by it because it was on a Desiring God Q&A session. The question was, how does a Christian parent deal with a child who comes out in underneath the LGBTQ umbrella? And one of the statements that I was able to get to was, hey, don't blame yourself. Do not take on the mantle of responsibility. If they are adult, whatever that year is, if they're an adult and they're making those decisions, you cannot put yourself on a hook. It's their decision. And he was even commenting that there are so many Christian parents who are experiencing this these days. And it goes hand in hand with the number of kids who are just running away from their parents. I was reading another article, and I've had 1,000 of these conversations. And it was that the kids grew up in the church doing all the stuff. And now they don't even want to talk to mom and dad. And I keep, sorry, I know we talked about this earlier this week, but I just keep coming back in large part to social media. Because if you're trying to drip truth into their bucket, the social media, the internet, they got a fire hose. And it is hard. I just read another statistic. 95% of kids have smartphones. 95% have smartphones. And I'm wondering, how do those other 5% get away with this? Because There was a documentary, a 60 Minutes documentary. It's worth looking up. I don't know how much of it you'll be able to tolerate, from Australia, showing the kids have total meltdown. I want my iPad. Give me iPad. You, the little terrorist, needs his electronic buzz. Otherwise, he's willing to rip mom's arms off of her body in order to get what it is that he wants, because those things are so addictive. I wonder, how are those 5% doing it? Well, I got to tell you, that is a war I am really glad at this point I don't have to wage. Because I will say this, though, mom and dad, you got to be in the battle. You just have to engage in the battle. And I know you're going to wait and you're going to go, but if I don't give them a cell phone, they're going to be really upset. Yep. If you give them a cell phone, especially with unfettered access, which most of them have because they all seem to know intuitively how to get around whatever sort of software you install on that crazy thing, they're going to get bombarded with a progressive worldview, a progressive, feminist, licentious, CRT-laden worldview. So on the one hand, you've got that. On the other hand, if you don't give it to them, what you gonna do? And the answer is, I don't know, but you better do something. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land. And they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, as long as I brought up the subject, this is Wretched Radio. Everything's gotta go, and I mean everything, including parenting. What are we witnessing in 21st century Western civilization? Deconstruction of everything. Why? It's a part of CRT. It's a social Marxism that says the current structures that are in place, and all of them, everything that we see and experience, if it was here when we were born into it, it's got to go because it was invented by racist, white, Christian people to oppress others. And if we're going to have a utopia that socialism has never been able to actually succeed at producing, then everything's got to go. We got to get rid of everything. We got to deconstruct everything, including parenting. Why? Historically, not everybody certainly, and there have obviously been different parenting models throughout the years. Thank you, Dr. Spock. But mostly in America, it was understood that we would discipline our children while loving our children. And while loving our children, we would discipline our children. It would be a balance. Why? Because we understood that the Bible was right when it said the parent who loves disciplines. It is substantiated by the fact that our Heavenly Father disciplines us as a good, loving Father. And so we've strived to try to be obedient to those principles, to love and to nurture, bring up children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and when necessary, use the rod of discipline. Because it works. And the Bible's emphatic. If you spare the rod, you don't just spoil the child. It says that you hate your child. Well, that old fuddy-duddy way of parenting has got to go, and it's been replaced by a therapeutic model of child rearing. And according to the Federalist, it ain't working. And I think we've seen that, haven't we? I know. I hear your emails already. You're going to say, but you don't understand. Some children are special needs and they act out in public. I grant you that. But there has been a proliferation of naughty children explosions in public, screaming regularly in whatever store that you happen to be in a restaurant. If you can get through a meal without the kid pitching a fit, well, it was a good meal. Expensive, I'm sure, but that would be a good meal. Why? And I think it's because of the therapeutic model, which is what everything is these days, isn't it? It's all about me and how I feel and how this makes me emote. The therapeutic model, it deconstructs that old school love and discipline model with you basically becoming a psychiatrist for your kid. Furthermore, it makes all of the children's behavior an external problem. It's not an internal issue. No siree, Bob. Everything that is hard or causes you to have a bad feeling, it's not because of what's going on inside of you. It is what is happening outside of you. From the Federalist, really helpful article about 30 years ago, university education programs, they focused on the importance of fostering an internal locus of control, that your actions, your choices, they drive outcomes. If I choose not to do my homework, my grades will suffer because of my poor decision. Today, kids learn the exact opposite. If my grades are low, it's because I have trauma. I have a learning disability, an emotional disability, an unaccommodated learning environment, an emotionally absent parent. I'm being bullied. You name it. It is outside of the child. It's never the individual's fault. We aren't fostering a sense of responsibility or what is so obvious. You reap what you sow. Actions have consequences. No, your problems are not yours. It's something or somebody else's. Somebody is to blame for your difficulties. There's a new book called Bad Therapy, Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up. That's the foundation of this article at The Federalist. It's by Abigail Schreier. It's time to admit something has gone wrong since parents were told that spankings represented profligate child abuse. Gentle parenting and trauma-informed care. Trauma's real. While we are tempted to mock this, trauma is real, but this has taken on a life of its own. They've displaced the age-old understanding children should be brought up to mind their parents, respect their elders, develop into productive citizens. The child-focused perspective on parenting insists, children, they know what they need. Being happy is the ultimate culmination of a life well-lived. And this particular book cites, here's some problems with that. Here's 10 consequences of raising children that exist in their own universe for their own benefit. One, kids are taught to pay close attention to all their feelings. Happiness is supposedly the goal of therapy, but emotional suffering gets rewards. In other words, you get a lot of attention when you say that you've got a lot of trauma and stress, and some people like that. Number whatever we're on. Worries are affirmed and accommodated instead of overcome and extinguished. We don't help kids overcome a struggle. That's what maturing is all about. We remove it, or we pad them in cotton so that they don't have any struggles. Diagnoses are bandied about like candy popped out of a Pez dispenser. You're a this, you're a that, you're a this. Again, your problem. You were just born that way. It wasn't your fault. You got it from your parents. Drugs often follow diagnoses. Young adults are encouraged to cut off toxic families. Oh, is that why that trend is going on? It's all about being therapeutic. Yep, it's all about gentle educating, gentle parenting. You're so dumb, you Christian. We got to keep this information from you because you might not agree with your kid and it could traumatize them. Therefore, we know better. We're going to protect them from you and not let you know that your kid is struggling in this area. Oof. Dependency upon treatment. It's encouraged the effects of this therapeutic model parenting. We see them in public, don't we? Child rearing in the counseling office, at school, and at home has swung 180 degrees from teaching responsibility to casting blame, from developing mature behavior to coddling self-centered feelings, from respecting parents' wisdom and authority to denigrating and breaking up families, from fostering resilience to fomenting victimhood. Is this maybe why we see so many families that are busted? And so many kids that ghost, because they have indeed been indoctrinated with this concept that nothing in life should be hard. And when it is, it ain't your fault. Your struggle, your disappointment, it's out there. And we'll deal with whatever the problem is out there. And of course, what are kids going to say their problem is? Mom and dad, they don't let me go to, they don't let these friends hang. It's always the parents. This is the therapeutic model. Now, here's the part that I think is most disappointing. Mom and dad, even if you are parenting in the traditional way, they're being taught gentle parenting and therapeutic childhood more than whatever exposure they have to you and your biblical way of raising kids. And that's what makes this so insidious. That this is why I think so many Christian parents are looking around and saying, what happened to my kids? Well, the world got them. How do they get them? Sorry. Answer is social media, their friends. Pretty much everything that they see on TV these days is promoting self. We are the autonomous society. The music is all about this. Movies are all about this. We have an angsty generation, and it is being fed by a water hose that's just like a fire hydrant pouring into our kids. So what do you do, mom and dad? Well, here's what some 20-somethings are doing. They're not having kids. That's a mistake. You're missing out on so many joys. Yeah, you're missing out on some heartaches too, but you're missing out on a truckload of joy. Don't be discouraged. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And if nothing else, it reminds us I am not responsible for the outcome of my children. Neither are you. You're responsible for being faithful. That's the goal. Just do it day in and day out, and you leave the consequences to God. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be doing everything in life? It's a reminder. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. We are in control of zip. Absolutely not, including the outcome of our children. So mom and dad, yeah, it can be a little disheartening because the kids, it somehow gets into them and you hear the same whining and you hear the same complaining. And it doesn't mean that we're not sensitive, but it does mean we need to be faithful and we need to keep doing it God's way. And we need to keep reading his word that tells us we've got to discipline/disciple our kids the same way that God disciples us. Lovingly, and yet when necessary, with a rod. That's right. I just said spanking. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.